What's up, Jets fans? Welcome back to yet another Jet Stream. My name's Jesse Finver, and with me, as always, my partner in crime. We're miserable co-hosts in crime at this point. Connor Sheeran. Connor. Been a week and a half since our last episode?
Yeah, about that, you know.
And
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. We're recording in the new year, 2024. Hopefully this year is way better than...
This is the Jets year. This is the Jets year. Been saying that for 13 years.
Oh my God. Well, unfortunately, there's still football games to be played this season, and there were two football games that we haven't discussed yet. So since the last time I spoke to you, the Jets are 1-1. Honestly, like, it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch at this point of the season when you know there's no you're not playing for anything at all. And it's very like, and you have horrible, like, the offense is unwatchable. I don't care if we put up 20 points against the Browns and 30 points against the Commanders.
Well, 20 points against the Browns, you can barely even count because one of them was a defensive touchdown.
Yeah. 13 offensive points. And like that Commanders game should have been a loss. It really should have been a loss. They really blew it. It was pretty wild seeing them in the first half. They were up 27 to 7. Then they scored another touchdown in the third quarter, and then they put 14 in the thing. And then we had that last second field goal, which, you know, I love Greg Zuerlein. He's absolutely money.
Lights out.
It'll be good to have him next year, but like, I kind of wish you missed that one, Greg. Because if you look at Tankathon now, which I'm not looking at the second, but I know that the Jets are sitting at the lead, you know, between like 8 and 10 in the draft order. I think it's 9.
Double check. Michael Nani.
Which is between 8 and 10.
Which is between 8 and 10. That is true.
They're 6 and 9 right now. Or no, they're 6 and 10, excuse me. They were 6 and 9 after the Washington game. I can just look at it. I have the full league here. I believe the Giants are one pick ahead of them. Yep. At 5 and 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The eighth pick, maybe? Yeah, they have the eighth.
The Jets have the eighth pick currently. And Nania posted this morning, he said, they can go as high as 5 with a loss, and then they can drop as low as 12 if they beat the Patriots.
Yeah, so it would be nice. So we would need the Giants to win against the Eagles. Not happening.
Now the Eagles keep fucking losing. They have to keep playing.
Maybe. Then Tennessee. And I don't know who Tennessee is playing. The Jaguars, they could easily.
The Jags are still playing for something.
Wait, they're playing them back-to-back weeks? No, they played the Titans. No. The Texans this past week, sorry. All right, and then the Chargers, who lost to the Broncos. They're playing the Chiefs. They're not going to win. So no. The Jets are most likely at where they're at. I think that they, if they win, they could drop as low. Like, they could drop pretty low.
As far as 12, they win.
I'm hoping that they don't win. And we keep that top 10 pick. That's the difference between like Joe Alt and that Bama tackle. And you want Joe Alt. And Olu's going too high. This sucks. I mean, it sucks that. So the reason I go through all this is that Washington win really, really put the Jets. I mean, I know that tweeted after is like, I know how you guys feel. Like,
yes.
You guys wanted that. You guys so, wanted, yeah. Like, I know how fans feel, but, you know, win's a win. Like, all right.
I couldn't tell if that was like him saying sorry for giving you like a heart attack.
Like, no, that was definitely like he knew
or
that
he knows
fans
about,
wanted the better draft pick. Yeah.
He knows about the draft. I mean, yeah. I mean, players aren't dumb. Like, they understand.
Yeah, they were fans.
They understand.
They wanted that. They wanted that stuff.
Yeah, they understand. They're never going to go out. They go out. And
no, and I respect the shit out of them for playing as hard as they can. And like, they're, and this team, like, they're together. Like, I don't know if you saw, like, the locker room, like, it really hasn't come apart. Maybe they don't like Salah. I have no idea. I can't speak to that. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, they're out on the coaching staff, but I don't think they are. I think they all realize, like, this is all about Rodgers not playing and that, you know, offensive line, they're going to get new offensive linemen. They understand. I think that these guys know. And I think that these guys stick together. If you saw today, DJ Reed defending Jordan Whitehead. Jordan Whitehead, like, replied to him. All right, so Jet X Factor, which is Nania's, like, thing.
Right.
So let me get the tweet up. Where is it? There he is. Unverified. He goes, y'all got to stop saying I have 7 touchdowns. Well, last week it was just 8. If you don't know football, stop making articles at Jet X Factor. Ooh. So here's what they said about Jordan Whitehead. This was an article basically about, like, who should they keep, who should they cut, I'm assuming. Because he goes, Jordan Whitehead. The person before him was Dalvin Cook, because you can see his last name in the last sentence, and then McKay Becton underneath him. So if you can see.
I just pulled it up now.
Yeah. So Jordan Whitehead, many Jets fans thought the team got a bargain when they signed Jordan Whitehead to a 2-year, $14 million deal. In retrospect, for everyone but Joe Blewett, it was Whitehead who got the steal. He allowed 7 receiving touchdowns this season, the worst mark among safeties, and tied for 4th worst among all defensive players. He has an 18% missed tackle rate, the 5th worst mark among safeties. So 17.5 yards per reception allowed are the 6th worst position. In other words, Whitehead is one of the worst safeties in the NFL. Sayonara. So we have, let's see, where is he? Please tell me that he didn't delete it. DJ Reid, people have no idea how much our defense relied on you the last 2 years. You are the main communicator and problem solver. You single-handedly won us the first game of Monday Night Football, laughing crying emoji.
I mean, I understand DJ Reid sticking up for his guy, but Jordan Whitehead he leads the team in interceptions. 3 of them came in week 1. And
that's right.
Him saying single-handedly, sure, yeah, you're sticking up for your guy. But the Jets offense also didn't really do anything off those interceptions. I mean, they won the game on the last second punt return, as we all know. So yeah, it's a combination of factors. And Jordan Whitehead, I mean, yeah, you appreciate the guys that are sticking up for each other and they want to. But at the same time, it's Jordan Whitehead. We see him. Like, we see him kind of getting cooked on a kind of regular basis, and mm-hmm. he's not as good as the interceptions and stuff make him kind of out to be. It's the same thing as what's his name, Stephon Diggs' brother,
Trayvon Diggs.
Yes, thank you. He was like, he had like what, two or three years ago, he had like 9 interceptions or something. Yeah. And then you go back and you look at the highlights, he gets burned all the time. So Jordan White is similar in that regard. He's good for making those picks occasionally. It's only, maybe he has 4, which is great. But at the same time, it's
3 of them came in 1 week.
He came in 1 week. Season. And he doesn't do great in coverage.
For sure. But I still like, the point still stands, I like how the team is staying together this late in the season and having their backs. And I think this defensive unit knows its value, its worth. They know how good they are. I mean, there's just so many like game changers on this defense, and it's going to be fun to see next year. But for now, you know, almost like they're too good right now. We want them to be worse. We want the offense to be, we want them to be as bad as possible. And they're just, that's not in their DNA.
Well, put it this way. They looked pretty bad against Cleveland.
They did. In the first half, they looked really bad against Cleveland. And then they pretty much shut Joe Flacco down in the second half. Why is that? That's not the score I'm looking for. What was it, week 17? Here we go. Yeah, they scored 3 points in the second half. And I like Flacco, like, should have thrown 3 picks. Yes.
If you're including the one with Jermaine Johnson, yeah, he threw at least 2 or 3 other passes that should have been interception.
Yeah, one went right into Michael Carter's hands, and then Elijah Moore somehow came down with it.
Oh my god. And then that was crazy.
And then there was like there was 2 other like Tony Adams, I think, should have had one.
Yeah, that was a tough one, but it was an interception. It was a ball that he probably could have caught. Like
there was like 2 more.
Yeah,
it felt like a very fluky 20 dominant first half. Like, I don't know.
Right.
It was just weird. Well, there was the pick six.
Right.
The first drive, like, fine. That's the first drive. I never put too much stock in the first drive of any game for either team. They're all scripted. Yeah. Everything is by the book, and you can't put a lot of stock into that. I mean, obviously it's a good way to get momentum and get like starting the game on the right foot, but you know, both these teams scored a touchdown on the opening drive.
Right.
Like, we saw the final score. They lost by 17.
Yeah.
So there was then the Kareem Hunt. They had that was a good drive. It was a 4-minute drive. That was a 3.5-minute drive, 7 plays, 75 yards. They kind of just picked them apart. There was a fumble, turnover on downs, pick six. The Jets got another turnover on another fumble, right? And then another touchdown, another long. But I feel like there was a bunch of like these plays that just, I don't know, it just didn't feel. It felt very fluky, a lot of these plays, and it could have gone very differently in that first half. We know how good this defense is. This is not a defense that lets up 34 points and a half.
One half does not tell the story of a season.
Is
a good way of putting it.
You know, like the Jets hadn't let up a 300-yard passer since the last game of 2022 or 2021. It was 33.
It definitely could have been 2022, because that's when they played the Dolphins and they played Skylar Thompson. So,
yeah, I think it was Tom Brady at the end of 2021.
Yeah,
or something.
That sounds about right.
And Flacco had 309 yards, and I think 290 something of those yards were in the first half. It was a very fluky, very weird first half. There was a bunch of, I mean, David Njoku had like over 120 yards in the first quarter. It felt like.
Somehow didn't get a touchdown.
A bunch of chunk plays. I mean, Njoku's good, but like, come on. Yeah, he had Njoku had a 43-yard reception. Elijah Moore had a 24-yard reception. Jerome Ford had a 50-yard reception. Jordan Atkins had a 28-yard reception. This defense is built, the way it's built is they don't let up big plays. You know, they'll let you dink and dunk, and they're going to get after it, the pass rush, and they rotate the pass rushers to make sure that they're rested. There's a lot of substitution. They stay on one side of the field. They stay in their base defense. And, you know, it's built to like play two safeties over the top always. They just didn't, you know, there was a lot of breakdowns. Jordan Whitehead, you know, had breakdowns. Tony Adams had breakdowns.
Jamal Adams.
CJ Mosley had breakdowns. Quincy Williams had some breakdowns. It wasn't a good coverage game by the safeties and linebackers in this game. And Njoku just smoked them. And I think there was only one sack this whole game. It was a team sack. They didn't even give it to anybody. But they did. Jermaine Johnson had the interception, which was awesome.
Right.
He's turned into such a stud. I mean, he really has. The first four picks that Joe Douglas had, it's the best thing that he's done for this franchise. The only really great thing that he's done for this franchise has been finding Bryce Huff and Quincy Williams.
The 2022 draft is going to go down in Jets history as one of the better ones. As long as all of those players continue to pan out and they remain Jets for a long time, it's going to go down as one of the better drafts in Jets history. I mean, think about it. I still can't get over it. Sauce, Garrett, Jermaine Johnson, all in the first round. Brees in the second round.
Brees has 74 catches this year. Like he has over 1,300 total yards.
Yeah, is 800. If he had maybe two or three more games. I mean, he's hitting 1,000 rushing. He's at 816. He's easily hitting that.
He could against the Patriots. You never know. I think he'll get to 1,500 total yards on the season, behind this offensive line, he averaged 4.4 yards a carry, and he's way better than that. He can easily average 5 yards a carry.
Yeah. You know? And so it goes, and It's absolutely. And it shows, I mean, it depends, I guess, a little bit on who's going to play quarterback on Sunday. Something tells me it's still going to be Simeon because,
yeah,
I mean, who cares at this point? But that honestly works to Breece's benefit in a lot of ways because, I mean, look at what Simeon was doing on Thursday night. All he was doing was throwing underneath 5 yards and just letting guys do it, like get the yards after catch.
He wasn't throwing down. We've used that drag route a bunch the last couple of weeks. Like Randall Cobb had a big reception. They've used Xavier. Yeah. He had that touchdown. Xavier Gibson, they've used him a lot in that scenario. I like that underneath little drag that the quarterbacks finally are starting to use. And it's usually a clear out. It's usually a clear out where they send two guys deep and then they send one guy underneath and it takes the linebackers and safeties over the top so that they have the space underneath. And they usually get a pretty good, for all he does, Alan Lazard still can block pretty well. He does take penalties.
He does take penalties very well.
but he's a big guy, so he's a body, and he's not like this isn't George Pickens making a business decision and not
that's
blocking.
Right. Oh my god! Or it isn't. On the punt return, or is it the kick return on Thursday? Who made a business decision? One of the guys
Kenny Yeboah.
Kenny Yeboah.
Kenny Yeboah, dude. Who is 88 and why is he out here right now? But yeah, it's good.
He just stood up and Izzy immediately got hit and fumbled the ball. Now I understand. Well, first of all, now I understand why Izzy wasn't getting touches in the middle of the year. He does definitely struggle with holding on to the ball. But then you see that replay and it's like, oh, okay. So it wasn't entirely his fault. He gave him a chance to run with the ball because guys were just weren't blocking. So, it's last week was a weird, very weird set of games. And I was saying to a friend of mine last night who's a Giants fan, we're both kind of in the same situation as far as how we watch games now. It's pure apathy. You and I have talked about this. It's just, I don't care about the outcome. You root for it one way or the other.
I was rooting for Breece and Garrett Wilson.
That's what I was rooting for on Thursday. I was rooting for Garrett to get 1,000 and he got it. So that's what I was rooting for. I would like to see him get, I would have liked to see him get another touchdown or two. I mean, maybe
that'd
he
be
does.
Nice.
Say, but he,
that'd
I was nice. To get 1,000 and he got it. So I'm happy for him in that regard. Cause I mean, I'm looking at the, team stats for the season so far, and there is a 400 yard receiving yards difference between Garrett and Tyler Conklin.
Conklin's going to be so good with Rodgers next year. Holy shit, man.
This dude is, I mean, he is pure football guy. He plays tough football. He'll go out there, he'll catch the ball. He'll have two guys on his back and he'll run for an extra 5-6 yards. He's been a great addition for the team. And I think that Rodgers is going to love throwing him the ball because if he doesn't have to throw the ball very long, Conklin will do the rest. And I'm definitely excited for that to see how that, all pans out. And honestly, whoever the backup quarterback is, it might be Jacoby Brissett.
It'd
be nice. He'd be a great number two. And so whoever's throwing Conklin the ball next season, as long as the Jets are prepared for it this time. I mean, look what Brissett did when he came in against the Jets.
Yeah.
He came in.
That's what I wanted to bring up next, because that's the most frustrating part of the last 2 weeks. The Commanders sink, but they have when their quarterback goes down, Brissett's going to if Sam, they're playing Sam Howell, not because he's better than Jacoby Brissett. If Jacoby Brissett was playing the whole season, they'd have probably 2 to 3 more wins. And that's with not even, that's with barely watching the Commanders at all. Just saying that, because I think it's very clear that Ron Rivera is just he knows he's done. He knows he's cooked, and he's just playing the guy who you're developing, you're giving the young kid a chance. It's probably a charity, if anything. Right. Let's let Howell play. Let's see if he can, I'm sure it's a directive from up top. Howell's going to play if he's in. We want him to be the guy, blah, blah, blah. But then Brissett comes in and lights it up, right? And then you look at the Browns, you lose their franchise quarterback. Joe Flacco comes in. absolutely lights it up. And your people are like, well, you know, wow, like Joe Flacco was actively petitioning teams to sign him. I can't believe the Jets didn't even take his call. You know, I can absolutely believe that the Jets didn't take his call, because I think that they've seen what Joe Flacco is in this system. It's not good.
All right. Yeah. It's like a lot of Jet fans saw that and they seem to forget how he performed last season. Like it wasn't good. And we were watching it and it wasn't entirely through a lot of fault of his own. He's just
old. No, it's the coaching, but it's also the coaching on this team. It's so horrific. The Browns have more injuries than the Jets do. They have 11 wins. And the Jets defense is supposedly just as good as the Browns defense, right? This Jets defense allowed 34 points that I was defending earlier. I'm gonna bash them a little bit now. They allowed 34 points in the first half. You don't see the Browns defense doing that at all.
Right.
Jets let up 30 points. They left 34 points to the Dolphins. They left 32 points to the Bills. Let up 30 points to the Dolphins. They let up 27 points to the Chargers. They let up 30 points to the Cowboys. All right. This is supposed to be one of the best defenses in the league, and there's a lot of 30 pieces on there.
Right.
There are. These teams, the Commanders, the Bengals, all right, I've gone through this before. These teams that have lost their quarterbacks and are still playing well, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for why the Jets played this badly. There is no excuse. The reason is because of the coaching, man. It is. That's the only explanation. The Browns have lost way more guys. They're on all their backup offensive linemen also. They didn't have Amari Cooper. They lost Elijah Moore halfway through the game.
That was
not
scary.
Even halfway through the game.
That was scary, by the way.
It was terrifying.
That was one of those they needed to get him off the field ASAP. And watching him, like, you know, go through all the motions with
arms,
I mean, I was surprised they were able to get him off the field and
the field.
And for all like ill will that Jets fans if I saw like a Jet fan like clowning on him, like that would have been this isn't a Jamal Adams situation where
if Jamal Adams got hurt like that, I'd still be concerned for the guy. Yeah, I think he's a clown and I think he's a fraud. But
laughing at him.
Yeah, but I know he's a human being, and if I saw him floundering like that on the field, I'd be concerned for him. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, half the time we saw Tua get taken down.
Oh my
season.
God, that was terrible.
And it's like,
also.
How?
I mean, what we saw with Damar Hamlin, man. Like,
yeah, it's like, dude, come on. Like, in defense of, like, you know, this isn't me saying that I saw any Jets.
Yeah, just if you did.
It was just, I did say before the game started that I thought it was going to, we were going to see like a Joe Flacco to Elijah Moore, like 60-yard touchdown pass. He did get a touchdown pass, because that was obviously going to happen. It wasn't 60 yards, but that was obviously going to happen.
Right.
But it was just one of those typical Jet things. Michael Carter scored a touchdown yesterday for the Cardinals and they beat the Eagles. Like all these like people love saying it's like, oh, these guys leave the Jets and they're starting to light it up. Michael Carter's like one piece of a running back rotation. And James.
I saw a tweet about the Jets, and it was saying guys that we have let go that are actually playing really well now. Like Greg Van Roten has a 77 passing, like pass blocking grade. George Font's playing well. You know, like there's all these guys, and it just
Morgan Moses.
Like, Morgan Moses is playing well. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I retweeted this. Elijah Moore, 640 receiving yards this season. He is more than twice that Alan Lazard. Morgan Moses has a 77.9 passing, has a PFF grade. Greg Van Roten is a 77 PFF grade. George Fant's playing really well. He's starting tackle for the Texans, and they're playing really well. What that brings me back to is the coaching, man. And Keith Carter has to go. He's the offensive
line. He's got
to
go.
He's horrendous.
If you need someone to fall on the sword this offseason, then he's got to be one of them. There's got
to
be regardless of your feelings on Salah, he's here. He's here for next.
He's staying.
The bare minimum half of next season. He's one of those guys that's like, it's a playoff mandate. I think
hot.
They would never say it out loud.
You don't need to think. No, it is 100%.
Oh no, I'm saying it's 100% a playoff mandate. But he's also in a Brandon Staley situation where he might not
make it the whole season. Yeah.
And that goes for Joe Douglas too. I mean, the Chargers cleaned house. They got rid of Staley and they got rid of.
I don't think that's going to happen personally.
Me either. I don't think that's going to happen either.
Good next year. With Aaron Rodgers.
When was the last time a Jets head coach got fired midseason? Bowles. No, Rex was the end when he made it to the end of the season. Off the top of my head, I can't think of it. I just think it's.
Did Mangini or Herm get fired midseason?
Maybe. I mean, it's.
Didn't Kotite get fired midseason?
I'll have to ask my dad that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
That's far back, but it's. Yeah, I think it's just something that Woody doesn't do. I mean, unless things get really, really bad.
If we start 0-6, they're gone. Yeah, exactly.
That's the schedule
is not going to be terrible next year.
We say that every year. We're playing a third place schedule.
No, this year we knew. This year we were playing the NFC East. We knew like next year we're playing the AFC West. I mean, the NFC West. I mean, I know we're going to play the 49ers, the Raiders, the Rams, and the Cardinals. We'll have a tough 49 and the Seahawks. That'll be a tough, couple of games, but. I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad. This is supposed to be the Jets are going to be one of the people, like a team that's, a contender next year. As long as you have Rodgers, you're a contender.
Right. I'm glad. And we're in the situation now where I'm kind of almost not glad that the season went the way it did, but at least they're going to go into next season, not with the massive expectations that they went into with this season. Things are going to have down.
We're going to have expectations
amongst the fan base and the rest of the league are going to be like way down from where they were. It was like, I mean, you remember beginning of the season, us on that podcast season preview, we were as hype as anyone. We thought it was absolutely. You were saying AFC championship or bust. That's the level of.
And that's I'm still going to have that expectation. It's just I'm going to be going about it much differently. I'm not going to be pounding my chest this year because I don't want to. I can't go all in like that ever again. I just can't. Yes. I can't do that to my psyche. I never want to experience what I experienced on September 11th, 2023.
good thing you put the year in there. I could have gone a bunch of different ways. But I agree. I mean, it was
that was a bad night. A lot of bad memories of that. New York's had
a bad couple bad run-ins with September 11th. So let's keep it.
Let's
try to reverse things for New York, maybe, because they're not going to be playing for the next season. So it's
nine. Unless it's a Monday night now. Wait, is it a Monday night now?
What was Monday night this year?
Oh, does it go backwards? Let's see. Hold on.
No, it'll be September 10th, right? Or that would be the Monday, at least.
It's a Wednesday. September 12th is a Thursday. It'll probably be the 8th.
I doubt that they're not going to have the Jets start on Monday Night Football again.
The 9th would be the Monday. I wouldn't be surprised if they put us on Sunday Night Football, like Rodgers' return. Come on, they're going to milk the shit out of that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But I did also see that... it's more than likely that the Jets get at least 3 primetime games next season, including apparently it also kind of sounds that they're going to try to make Black Friday like the Jets thing, like how Thanksgiving is the Lions and Cowboys thing.
Sick. Great. Love it.
I hate that immediately. Just despise it. It's like the worst thing. I don't want to get set into something like that. And I don't know if that's true. It's just like someone I saw posts like with someone who has like,
that'd be horrible. That would be what I would hate that so much.
I hate that. And then that's on top of like 3 other primetime games probably. And yep. I mean, that's fine, but I just don't like, they did back-to-back primetime games this season. Like they did the Raiders and Chargers like back-to-back, like that sucked. Like, let's go back to, even if they're good, let's go back to just 1 o'clock games.
Yeah.
I like watching 1 o'clock.
I'm looking forward to the 1 o'clock game this week. Yeah. You know?
It was nice. You know, Chris, it was 1 o'clock against the Commanders. It was, you know, I was at my sister's house just watching it. Just, I knew it was Christmas Eve. I was, you know, regardless of what happened, again, it goes back to apathy. I knew I was still going to be able to enjoy my holiday.
Yeah.
It's not like 10 years ago where the Giants beat the Jets on Christmas Eve and the Victor Cruz thing happened. And
Christmas, oh, that was horrible.
Christmas was nearly ruined, but
oh, no, Christmas was ruined that year. 100%. 100%. That was so horrible.
But hey, yeah. That's the last time the Giants have beat the Jets. So
yeah,
we got that going for us.
That's true. All right. Let me ask you this. Do you want to win this week? I saw you tweet.
Yeah.
I saw you tweet. You seem conflicted.
Yes.
Do you want this win? Do you want to send Belichick to his retirement with on an L and break the streak, the 13 or whatever games in a row, 14 games in a row we've lost to them? Or do you want the better draft pick?
You can't tell me right now that it wouldn't feel good to beat them in New England, especially if Belichick gets fired or if Belichick and the Patriots, quote unquote, part ways. You can't tell me that wouldn't feel good. Like if it happens like 2 weeks from now, Belichick is just like the Patriots are parting ways with Bill Belichick and he's going to go coach the friggin' Chargers or the Commanders or something like that. You can't tell me that wouldn't feel good.
It would be amazing. It would be amazing.
And every Jet fan that says it wouldn't, and they're going to be like, oh, the draft pick.
Liars.
It's a liar.
Liars.
They are a liar and liars. They need to look at themselves in the mirror and say that this man who was one half of a duo that tortured us for 20 years and apparently has come out the other side as clearly being the portion of that duo that had a lot less to do with that team winning than the other. And the man who has basically lived for 20 years focused all his hate and ire on the New York Jets for some reason. Still don't understand why he hates the Jets. Like something must have happened behind the scenes between him quitting and someone in the Jets front office. Like they must have like crashed his car, given him a noogie behind the scenes or something that he like had some personal vendetta against this franchise. But
he hates the Jets.
So guess what, Bill?
We hate you.
We hate you more than anything in the world. And I would love nothing more for them to beat the Patriots on Sunday. But at the same time, if they lost, guess what? It's another loss in the column. And I'm used to, they haven't beaten them since 2015. It's something I'm used to. So it's not, and the Patriots are bad. So it's also not like that Pats fans would be like coming in to dance on our graves. If anything, they'll be upset. If anything, they'll be mad. So
yeah, if they win, they lose the second overall pick, I'm pretty sure, or something like that.
Anyway, it's kind of a win-win for the Jets because it's like, yeah, okay, you lost, who cares? It's just, like I said, it's another loss over the course of 8 years. And it takes the Patriots out of contention for whoever their top QB prospect is. And then at the same time, if the Jets win, then you kick Bill out of Foxborough and say, play. Maybe he retires. Maybe he's like, I want to go try to prove it with another team that I can. And I can, I don't know, understand why a team would want to hire him, but.
I'm pretty sure his longtime girlfriend and him split up. He's not going back to like family life. My man's not retiring. I can't see it.
Yeah.
He loves football too much.
How old is he?
I'm going to guess 74.
71.
Okay. He's not the oldest coach in the league. Pete Carroll's older than him.
Yeah. No.
Carroll's got a lot of energy. Yeah. Look up. I'm pretty sure Pete's like 70 something too.
Pete Carroll is older than Belichick. He's 72. That's crazy. Yeah. Pete Carroll good for him. He does not look 72. And like you said, he has a lot of energy. So
yeah, well, yeah, for him. Pete lived in LA for a while.
True.
He's got money.
Yeah, that's true.
Bill doesn't give a shit about that stuff.
He cares about football. He cares about football, and that's all Belichick.
It's that gum. He's smacking the gum for so long, it's kept that jawline chiseled.
Or maybe it's Belichick. You know, when he sold his soul to win all the Super Bowls, it's like the devil slowly coming up and taking his life force away. So it's making him look more decrepit. Yeah,
the hoodie, so you can't see the devil sucking his soul away.
You can't see the skin peeling off and the ash coming through, waiting to collect him on the other side.
Fucking demon.
But, yeah, I mean,
that's what he is. He's a demon.
It's like I said, apathy. I can't be bothered to care one way or the other. But if the Jets get out onto a lead,
no, I'm rooting hard for the Jets this week.
I'm gonna be rooting for him. I'm sorry, Jet fans.
I'd love a draft pick. It doesn't matter, guys. It doesn't matter. Like, I just don't trust Joe Douglas anymore, especially with offensive linemen. I mean, Tippmann seems okay. Becton was a disaster. You're not going to resign him. ABT's good.
But
I got one really bad, one okay, one great, but he's been injured, and you can't even rely on ABT anymore.
But I saw Connor Rogers, I think, was saying it. It was people are calling ABT injury prone, and I think there's a difference between him getting knocked out the past 2 years and like someone like Becton, where it's not like ABT got knocked out and has like a nagging
ankle or quad injury.
Don't get me wrong, they're two bad injuries for an offensive lineman to have, but it's not like something that, he's playing on a bad ankle again, or he strained his quad, or he's got a bad hamstring. That's going to lower his effectiveness. It's not something like that. It's just two. Yes, exactly. Again, bad injuries for any player to have, especially an offensive lineman. And obviously you hope that he comes back, as good as ever for his fourth season. But, you know, you have to be obviously prepared for any player on the offensive line. But him, you know, he's showed the versatility that he can play on the right side of the line wherever you kind of need him to. It's a different case, I think, with this draft where people place a lot of value on tanking. But tanking has more value, I think, when you need or you're planning on drafting a quarterback.
Joe Douglas is 100% going to focus on the offensive line this offseason. That's going to be his biggest focus. He's going to try and – I think the goal is to get Davante Adams.
Yes.
And I think the goal is to get three new offensive linemen at least.
Yeah, that's definitely at least what they need.
I think those are the two biggest goals this offseason. Obviously, I don't know specifically any plans that Joe Douglas has. I'm not in the know, but this is just me speculating. And I think that's the best move, I think, for the Jets is to, they need another big time playmaker. And you're certainly going to get that. You'd have the best wide receiver duo in the league. You'd have Aaron Rodgers. You'd have a hopefully revamped offensive line. I still think that you're going to go after David Bakhtiari, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of moves the Jets are going to be making this offseason. I think that they're going to try and revamp the offensive line coaching staff. There's no way Keith Carter makes it through this offseason.
I can't.
There's 0% chance.
He's got to be one of the people to go. Otherwise, I don't even know what
everybody
we're doing
else is there. Staying. I know that like Hackett's staying. I know that Saleh's staying. We know Joe Douglas is staying. I would be surprised if they got rid of the wide receivers coach. I don't even remember his name. I think that they're going to – you can't go into the season with Lazard and Cobb as your, like, big guys.
Well, Cobb won't be back. He's only on a one-year deal.
I honestly think, like, if the team – if Rodgers is fully for this team, like, be like, hey, Allen, we need you to – let's convert this to a signing bonus, you know, and, you know, help us out here. And I think there's going to be a lot of conversions to signing bonuses. Remember, the NFL salary cap, not real.
Not real. Just look at the New Orleans Saints. It is a fake made-up thing that they can, you know, twist and move around as much as they need to get guys on the roster.
There's going to be a lot of that. Plus, you have to sign Huff. You know, you have to spend a bunch of guys you need. There's a bunch of guys that need to be paid.
It's the biggest. I think Huff is the biggest X factor as far as literally everything else in the offseason goes. And I think unfortunately, I think a lot of Jets fans are kind of like resigning themselves to the fact that they're not going to be able to pay Huff. And
you can't take Emmanuel quickly away from me and then take Bryce Huff away from me. That's just not fucking fair. I'm sorry.
You can't.
Not fair.
It's just one of those things trust me, this isn't me saying that I want to get rid of him. It's a surplus position right now for the Jets.
And it is. They have Will McDonald.
They have Will McDonald and they have Jermaine Johnson playing as their edge rushers. And if you need to pay, because again, you're going to need to pay Jermaine Johnson in like two years. So it's one of those things.
It's a homegrown guy though. You have to pay this guy. Otherwise, what's the point? What's this going to say? What's this going to say to the players in the team? Like you have a guy who is undrafted. And he'll get paid and go somewhere if he doesn't. What does it say to the rest of the locker room? Do you see a guy who works his ass off and plays so well, comes from undrafted free agent status and becomes this unbelievable pass rusher? like, unless the Jets just look at him and they're like, you can't play every down. Like, you just, we just don't think you're capable of it.
Right.
I would disagree. I think that he can play every down. That's how effective he is as a pass rusher, but maybe he's, maybe I'm missing the run defense part of it. Maybe he's not very good at setting the edge on the run. I don't know, but I think that it sends a bad message to the rest of the locker room. If you see this undrafted free agent guy work his ass off and play this well, and the team won't pay him.
Right. Absolutely. So, I mean, he's leading the team in sacks. Like,
plus, like, think about like how Saleh runs his D line. Like, you need a guy like this. I'm sorry. Right. You just do. You know, Carl Lawson won't be here next year.
Nope.
Right. He's going to get cut. So that's going to be free money. Use that to pay Bryce Huff, man. Seriously, yeah. Like, take the money that you were using on Carl Lawson, maybe give him a little less. I don't know, but right. Pay the guy, pay him.
And that'll, like I said, that factors into everything, because if you want to say you can't trade for Davante Adams because he's going to cost a lot, but so you don't want to do that. So you go out and try to sign T. Higgins. Is he going to be your target?
I would love to go after T. Higgins.
Me too.
Sure.
But
if you can't get Devontae, go after T. Higgins. You've got to get another big time wide receiver.
Yeah, you can't go into next season with your three starting wide receivers being Garrett, Alan Lazard, and Xavier Gibson. Like, you can't do that. That's not going to work. It doesn't work at all. So you need another number two guy. You need a situation like the dream scenario is something like the Niners, where they have two wide receiver ones as their lead guys. They have Debo and Brandon Ayuk. Like, that's a dream scenario for any football team.
You said Ayuk?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
That's what I'm saying. It's just that's the Niners setup. Like, that's the dream scenario for literally any team in the NFL. That's even taking Christian McCaffrey out of the situation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just
Debo, Ayuk, McCaffrey, Kittle,
having those. That team just doesn't.
No wonder Brock Purdy is so good.
He's so good. You put him on any other team, like, and that's not taken away from Purdy, but come on, he's not nearly as good. He's not even close. Like, those guys are clearly doing the heavy lifting for him, and I'm sure he'd be the first one to probably say that, but. Yeah, no, I think everything, as much as the other needs factor in, what happens with Bryce Huff just comes into play. It's
fans will be really sad. This is going to be like another, like Knicks fans are really sad when we trade Emmanuel quickly because he's a fan favorite. Bryce Huff's a fan favorite. If he gets traded, people are going to be sad. There's going to be a lot of 47 jerseys next year if we resign him. Let's just say that.
For sure. So, if there aren't already. So,
yeah.
By the way, I will say shout out to my mom. I didn't even ask for it.
Yes. But
she got me a Garrett Wilson jersey for Christmas.
Yes, shout out.
And it's the throwback.
I have the same jersey, man.
Oh, I opened it
so
up.
So nice.
I opened it up. Do you know? But where it was like in the bag, all I saw was Wilson at the top. I was like, uh-oh. Please be the right Wilson. Please be the right. And I opened it up. I saw 17. I was like,
Do you know he's changing his number, right?
No way.
To five.
God damn it.
He tweeted it in April. I just saw it today. Damn, I have a 17. Garrett. I think it'll be cool to have that
stuff. Yeah, you're right.
It's the throwback.
It's version. Throwback of the throwback.
Yeah. But he tweeted apparently in April. It's like, by the way, I'm going from 17 to five. Just letting you guys know. I didn't see it. Oh, well. I bet we could send it back to Fanatics once he makes the change, and we can make that switch.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't owned a jersey.
Great gift.
Owned a jersey in a while. I honestly can't remember the last Jets jersey I've owned, because it's always been one of those things. I never want to get a player because it's never worked out over the past like 13, 14 years. So seeing that
my
was
my last two jerseys. My last two jerseys were Jamal Adams, and then when we signed Dalvin Cook, I wrote on duct tape Dalvin Cook and put it over the jersey. So I guess it's the two of my last three, because it's still one jersey, and it sucks because that Jamal Adams jersey is like so nice. It's the jet black one.
Nice. That is a good one.
Yeah. And it sucks because like I can't wear that jersey. And Jamal Adams was my favorite player.
Dude, I mean, he was the only.
He's my phone background. Like, I
how could it, how could guy. He not be? He was the only.
He was like, I want.
Think back to that 2020 season. He was the only good player, or 2019 season. He was the only good player, only like fantastic star player they had, and you know,
dude, he goes, I want to die on the football field.
Yeah.
Like, how do I not root for this guy?
I not want to get this guy's jersey immediately. And now, 3 years later, he might have played his last snap as a Seahawk.
Oh, yeah.
So who knows what'll happen now? I mean,
scumbag loser. I mean,
by the way, did
loser.
Did you see Boy Green? Boy Green, his like post about his like, he's like, hands up. I mean, I wouldn't be against the Jets bringing him back. And every single reply was just like, no, dude, shut up.
I was
up.
Just like, ha, ah, no.
Shut up, dude. Nope, I'm glad like everyone was in agreement there. It's not like, because I mean, yeah. Dude, all you need to do is watch him play this season. He's stinks.
He's horrible. All right. Anything else we got going on? Any other final thoughts on this shit season, the shit sandwich of the season?
Well, we got one more.
I guess not final thoughts. We got one more. We'll do one more episode before we get into the draft stuff. But
yeah, but we got one more game, and it's actually a game, you know, that like we were
care
just,
about.
You somewhat care about it. It's which feels good after watching for the past like you know couple weeks and not caring really at all. So that feels somewhat good. The Patriots are bad. They've clinched for the first time, I think, since 2000, last place in the AFC East. So that's cool. I like that. And their quarterback situation is
shit.
Somehow worse than the Jets. You could make the argument, I guess.
Billy Zappi, one of the worst to ever do it. One of the worst to ever do it, Billy Zappi.
One of the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hesitant to say it'll be interesting on Sunday, but I would like to see Zach play. Because it's probably going to be his last time suiting up as a Jet. So it'd be nice to see him go out there, suit up. Maybe he has his first good game against the Patriots ever. So I'd like to see that.
That'd be so fun. That would be hilarious.
It would honestly
One last gift for us.
Huh? It would honestly be hilarious. Zach Wilson ends Bill Belichick's career in New England. Statistically, one of the worst quarterbacks of all time.
It would be poetic, to say the least.
It would be.
That'd be nice. All right. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Jesse Finver. Where can they follow you, Connor?
At Connor, Connor, _ Sheeran, Sheeran. On Twitter.
On Twitter. We don't call it
the other thing on this pod.
All right, folks. Right. Thanks for listening this week. We'll be back next week. We're reacting to whatever the hell happens on Sunday.
Yep.
Peace.